Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us in your truth and the life that we gladly live in our society and in our government situation. Let us be dedicated to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you guide us through the events of these days and pray in Jesus' name and amen. Well, today I have thoughts of our God, who is our just and righteous God. He delivers goodness and consequences, and we thank God for his mercy through Jesus Christ and our hope in Jesus Christ, who is a bright light in a dark world. We hear news all around us in the world, in our neighborhood, and we have a Bible to tell us what will go on, all in God's perfect timing. There is 2 Peter 3:10 who says, "The consuming fervent fire where the elements will melt will be the end of this earth." And until that day, we desire to show the love of God Jesus to the world as we remember God's great commandment in Matthew 22:37, to love God and love our neighbor as we watch the end time events unfold. 2 Peter 3:11 asks, "How then shall we live?" We live with holy conduct for Jesus. And our Bible tells us more fully how we should live. And we want to study our Bible so we know how to live. We have seen friends and family have some pretty tough breaks in life. And from what I've seen, the Christ followers get through those tough times better than a worldly person. It is another reason that we want to develop our personal relation with Jesus Christ. A few days ago, Jonathan Cahn, he had a YouTube video titled, "The Greatest Disaster is About to Happen." Well, Jonathan Cahn is the author of that book, The Harbinger. The book describes a historical pattern in ancient Israel that repeats in these days. And this pattern could be described as, we are given a chance to turn to God, and if we do not turn to God, then great destruction comes. That's how I interpret it anyway, but it was quite a monumental book, The Harbinger. Well, I have seen that theme in people's lives, and when we allow God to reign in our life, invite Jesus in, or if a country or an empire invites Jesus in to reign, then there is great power and holiness in the person or the nation. And when we think of United States of America, we can see that from the beginning, America has had great power. And what I see is it is because of our faith and following of Jesus Christ. Now, we have many people who are just plain intellectual, and they have lots of thoughts today. Oh, and in history, I think of Alexander Tytler, who was a Scottish university teacher in the 1700s. He studied historical events and said that a democracy would last about 200 years. And by the way, America has existed for about 250 years. Of course, we are a republic and not a democracy, but people have some incorrect ideas about, well, about everything, and we seek to have an understanding of truth, which we learn from the Bible. And we learn from going through life and realizing that life has consequences and opportunities. I think of one thing we think of, where does our freedom come from? Some people think that it comes from our Constitution. But no, our freedom comes from God. And another thing that some people think about is that the Supreme Court is the highest law in the land. And I would say that our Constitution is the highest law of our land. And then we think of dollars being money, but no, our Constitution says our money shall be only specie, which means precious or semi-precious metal. And that's why a gold coin or a silver coin is known as constitutional money. Well, today, every coin that we use is made mostly of zinc, and thus it is not constitutional money. Well, we live and we learn more and more. There's so many things that we just have an impression of that is not quite true, like Adam and Eve did not eat from the tree of knowledge. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, there are little things that make a difference in the Bible and, oh, well, all sorts of things, including law. And we do well to get the words correct and accurate. Legal and law enforcement people know that words make a difference. And that is why it is good for us to study our Bible, so that we can pay attention to the words. And it's also good to do for history and for government examination. When we read the documents of this or of that, of memos or whatever it is, or just plain law. Yes, the words are important. And many people today have a respect of government. But many people see that government is to be taken advantage of. That's another thing that goes on. I know that so many people expect to be helped by our government if there is a disaster or a big emergency. But government is set up to preserve government, so that government can continue to function. That is what FEMA was set up to do. And there were a lot of people unhappy with the U.S. government and FEMA after Hurricane Katrina, because they thought government would help them. But no, a couple of months went by before any federal help came. But there were lots of people in the local area, local churches and local government that gave help to local people. The thing is we are always better if we depend on our own self for us to help ourselves. And then we are a part of a community, we're part of a church, and this is good to rely or ask for help from people, and that way we have community helping people within the community. Well, we keep learning the lesson from history that the authorities might not be helpful. They actually might be a problem. Now, that's world history and American history and local history. It just repeats, and we can learn that lesson, and I hope we do, because regular people can have problems every day, and regular people can have a supply so that they can get through a time of trouble. Now, we have seen people who have relied on government for the last 50 or so years, and they expect help from government or a check from government or something or other. And often enough, it works just fine. It works just fine to expect entitlements. But we also know that in this time of trouble right now, when our U.S. government has a huge national debt of $34 trillion, and our interest payments on the $34 trillion are $1 trillion a year. So we have something that indicates we could be in trouble pretty quick. And we also have a part of our Bible which tells us not to borrow. Well, it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And there is examples that borrowing is not a good thing to do. So, USA has, and when I say USA, it's us taxpayers, the citizens of the United States who owe the money. Yeah, our government pays it, but our government collects the money from citizens. So we have a lot going on, and we have a lot of government entitlements going on out of our federal government right now. There's support of the millions of so-called migrants that have crossed our southern border, and the United States federal government has huge amounts of money to pay and support the people that are coming into America. So we have a position that could rapidly deteriorate, and that just is another reason for everyone who can to have a little preparedness in their home. I always say water, food, and warmth, and community. Those are the things that will help us to get through a hard time. So many reports are out, and it is from people who observe the situation that is going on in the world, particularly of the migrants that are coming up and crossing our southern border. We call them migrants, but we wonder about the people when they actually are engaged in conversation with the little bit of English that they know. And we find out that so many of those people are military-made aged men and not families. Other people have observed that the men who are coming across our southern border by the great numbers from China and other countries that are impoverished, there are people who notice that these migrants have a certain manner of standing and behaving. And they call it a military bearing, a military standing and behaving. So it has been questioned if the people coming across our southern border have actually had military training. It's something to ask and to be concerned about, because if China officials are sending their military to America, that's called the People's Liberation Army, the PLA, we do have to ask why and what is going on. Now, if you listen to a few people in China, they talk about attacking their enemies without being obvious about it. And they talk about attacking the infrastructure of a country that would include electricity, and water, food, communication, the distribution of goods and services too. So this is a known tactic to destroy an enemy country. And we have to wonder if that goes on here. A couple of years ago, there were reports that said that the couple hundred thousand Chinese students in America have received military instruction on how to disrupt a society and to take down those certain systems, water, electricity, communication, and distribution of goods. So have they been schooled? Well, there are a few that will talk about it, so we know that at least a few of the students have had that training. And if you listen to some people, they say all of the students have. Well, what do we really know, and what can we speak to? We keep searching for the understanding and the information. There's a lot we don't know, but we do know that there are a lot of concerns these days. This was a few weeks ago. The FBI director, Chris Wray, said there are blinking red lights flashing all over America. In other words, America is in trouble. Now, just days ago, FBI director Chris Wray was in front of a congressional subcommittee, and he was warning that there are attacks on America on our cyber systems. It was a cyber attack against American facilities, from the government to the electrical systems. Everything was under attack, and the water systems. Well, that is something that China is actively doing right now. And by the way, so is North Korea. North Korea has a large cyber warfare unit that is attacking America in many, many ways. Now, that has previously been addressed, but the point is that we have enemies that want to see America fall because it is a different system in the world that they want to see. And they want to destroy America and make America vulnerable. And then what their anticipation is to transition America to a new form of government. And you can see it is happening in America. We are getting more and more socialistic and more communistic ideals are being put into American thinking. So when will there be a transition of power? Do you think there ever will be? Can America stay as a free republic? Or will we be dominated by another country? Time will tell. And I can't say that I have an idea of the timing. All I can say is I see more and more serious situations going on. And that's what the FBI director Chris Wray was talking about too. More and more serious situations, flashing red lights going off all across America. So we have to be prepared for what could happen. It just takes a little bit to be prepared for the just in case. And I'll remember that there are many countries who are not friendly to America. In fact, they would like to see America destroyed. And that's something that we can be aware of, that we really do have enemies. Well, in the last, let's say, year, we have heard talk about mainland America being threatened, being wanting to be attacked. And this was by a number of countries, however they said it, clearly or insinuating that they would think it would be good if they attacked America. Mainland America. Russia said it, China said it, North Korea said it, and even Venezuela. And Mexico's president had, well, it wasn't outright threats, but it was saying that if you don't send billions of dollars to Mexico and have thousands of work permits for Mexicans to come into the United States, then he said he would direct the Mexicans in United States to vote in a way that was not good for the long-term health and recovery of America. So it's an example of having threats that we don't perceive of quickly, but they are there. And how serious are they? It's a good question. But if somebody says they are going to beat you up after school, you're going to remember it, I hope. And that's kind of the way that Russia, China, and North Korea have talked about their dislike for America. There's been Islamic countries that have said the same thing. Oh, yeah, Iran. They chant in their streets, death to the big Satan, death to the little Satan. The little Satan is Israel. The big Satan is America. Death to them. Yeah, wipe them out. So my point is that we have people who really are not just unfriendly, but they want to destroy America. And now with the millions of immigrants in the United States, we do have to know that all of the Chinese, all the Russians, all the Africans, all the Asians might not have an American point of view that even wants America to survive. We have to know that we have a situation going on, especially at our southern border, where we think of people coming from a neighboring country, such as Mexico. But it's not really true, because people fly from overseas to South America and or Central America, and then they come across the southern border. We don't even know how boatloads of people get into South and Central America and then come to America. We don't know, but it's something that we have to wonder, how do they afford to do that? Who pays for the travel? I mean, you know that if you were going to go to Africa or Asia or India, wherever, that it takes a lot of money to get there. And from them to get to America, South or Central America, it's not an easy thing for them to do, especially when you consider the poverty in all those continents and countries. Who pays for the travel? How do they even afford to do that? And you know that, well, I've previously talked about the debit cards that many of those migrants have as they cross our southern border. Apparently they come from the United Nations Small Army Fund, but that's only one source of money that they receive every month. Now, it's not that it's exactly known. You just find out in the interviews that reporters have done with the migrants. How do they pay for what they need? And where do they get their money from? United Nations Small Army Fund. Oh, and some other ones. Yes. But the point is that we don't know the whole story. We just find a little bit now and then. I have to think about the, I'll say it again. I've said this once before a few months back about George Washington's visions. Now, you can look those up. They're right online. Just ask Google, and you will hear the story about the George Washington visions, where he describes three woes that come to America. They were wars. And it is obvious to look back and see that one was the American Revolution, one was the Civil War, and the third one would be a future war, which we see it's likely that it is what is going on right now. George Washington described it as hordes of people coming from across the seas. And then he continues and tells of his vision where almost all the lights in America had gone out. And there was a mortal battle going on in America. And finally, America and American seemed to prevail, and the hordes of the people who had come into America from overseas, they left. And with prophecy things, we always have to be really careful. And it's something we can't be completely sure on when we get something like that from George Washington. But also, I don't want to ignore that somebody said something. And so it just, my thinking is get a little prepared for just in case what he saw was a true vision. And you can ask yourself, if it was true, how would you get through a time such as that? What would you eat if you were in a battle? Or what would you fight with if you were in a battle? And so that preparedness is something that you know how to do. I don't know how to do. But we all do something in one way or another to be prepared for the natural disasters that take place. And that kind of sets you up for anything that comes along, any kind of a disaster. And I don't know what it would be. I really don't. But I do think of if we were to have a time where the electricity went out, where the food distribution stopped, where our water lines were taken out. It could be by terrorism, or it could be by an earthquake. And suddenly something happens and we can't buy gasoline for our cars. We can't buy food at the grocery store. And the banking system is shut down. So the cash registers don't work in the grocery stores or the hardware stores or any place. Then how would we get by for a little bit of time? I remember going to Asia, but I also had an interaction with the Hmong people of Asia. And they were viewed as the enemy by certain communist forces. And they were chased and shot at and just ready to be killed as they tried to survive in the jungles of Asia. And part of that story has to do with how they survived. They survived by eating roots and other things that we would not desire to eat, but they got by. And those Hmong people had guns left over from Vietnam. When America left Vietnam, there were supplies left. But, a number of people, young men, had rifles, but they had hardly any ammunition. I mean, if somebody had 10 bullets, that was a lot. And sure, they carried their rifle, but bullets? Nope, not available. And I think about how there is a shortage going on of ammunition all over the world. In fact, there has been a proposal within the United Nations to stop small arms ammunition. And it was signed by Biden's administration, well, you know, the United Nations people. So apparently our government is on board with getting the small arm ammunitions eliminated from the world. So I think of the people in America. I know there's lots of people who have deer rifles, but hardly anyone has more than a box of bullets. And I just think, what if, what would happen if, sure, America has the Second Amendment and America has arms, but the ammunition, not so much. That's has been targeted for elimination, both in our government and in the United Nations. Even Elizabeth Warren had something. Biden signed something. There's something going on, and it is currently going on. And you can look it up if you have the interest to, and you can see that there are questions about what could happen in our future. I remember 1992, there was the Rodney King riots. Do you remember the Rodney King riots in 1992, Los Angeles area? Well, I had a business thing going on, and I was in that area, and I found that the stores had closed down their sporting goods sections, and nobody would sell arms or ammunition unless they were law enforcement. But I remember finding out how we thought we had a Second Amendment. Well, of course we do, but you couldn't buy any ammunition because it was, the government said don't sell any. So none of the stores sold ammunition at that time. Don't remember how long it lasted, but it was something that really did happen. Within 100 miles or maybe it was more even. It could have been more. But the point is, none of the stores in that area sold anything that had to do with firearms. And government can do anything like that. They can shut down anything. Well, you remember there was a situation with chicken and broccoli having a contamination of listeria. And what happened? Well, the stores shut it down, but so did the government. And now we have chickens being killed for bird flu. Even the laying hens are killed in great numbers. So if the government says, no, you can't buy this or buy that, yeah, you're not going to be able to. So sure, we're in a free country, but there will always be reasons that we can or cannot buy something or other. And our government has a lot of control. But apparently they don't control our southern border. Or do they? Is our southern border open? Or is our southern border closed? Well, our government has lots and lots of control and influence. And we want it to be godly influence. But most of the people in our court system and in our government don't even have an idea what godly is anymore. They don't know the Bible. They don't want to know the Bible. They don't even want God in the schools or in the courthouses. And we are in a position where things are going to be difficult if we kick God out of everything. Well, then it will just be men doing what men think is right. And then we can argue about that and see if we are going to take anything from our government, or are we going to be self-sufficient? Are we going to need to take our experimental vaccine if we want to go to a public meeting or a public store? The laws get made in ways that we do not expect, but it's done. Not only done, it's done and over. And just now, or really it's been the last couple of years, and Bill Barr has been a part of wanting to have an internet identity, a digital driver's license to get onto the internet. So if you get on the internet, you have to identify yourself. Well, yeah, there can be good reason for it, I know. And we have a lot of things that are wrong and bad. But is it good to put the government in charge of everything, of who gets on the internet, who gets to tell what truth about vaccines is, about truth, what goes on in our world, in our society? Well, we know there have been governments all over the world that say, don't tell anybody this, and they don't. That's gone on in the military services, too. And we have systems that are just waiting to take effect, like the Federal Reserve and the banking system. Why, there is a great deal going on to limit the cash and make sure that every purchase they make, that you would make, is known and documented. And this is something that our central banks want to do. They want to have digital currency. And that way, just like in China, the citizenry would be allowed to purchase this or that, or not allowed to purchase this or that. Now, as an example, I remember the Uyghurs in China were under great persecution because the central government of China said the Uyghurs were not going to be a part of the future of China. Oh, they said it in a different way, but they were out to eliminate the Uyghur culture. And those were Muslims, by the way. But you can see what it did. The Uyghurs did not like that the central government was going to discriminate against the Uyghurs and tear their society apart. So they started getting angry at government, and they started blowing things up. And guess what? You can't buy a lot of explosives in China. So the Uyghurs figured out a way to make explosives using sugar. And within just a couple of months, nobody could buy sugar anymore. Everybody had to present their ID, and the store had to record anybody who bought more than an ounce of sugar. And of course, this meant that the bakeries could not survive. And so there were no bakeries in that part of China. Still aren't to this day. No bakeries in that part of China. They all went bankrupt because they couldn't get sugar. So it's something which we have things going on which always have an effect. And the effect is not always known, and it is not always simple. But we do have to recognize that if we want freedom, we have to promote and protect freedom. And that is just the way life is. Like Benjamin Franklin said when he was asked what kind of a government do we have? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. So do you think you can keep our freedom? Or are we going to simply give it up? We are in the midst of questions about everything, and we do not know what is going to happen in our future. But we know we have forces that want to protect and preserve our constitutional freedom, and there are forces that want to give us a new government, a new America, and have everything change, everything become new. What are we going to do? If we knew the real answer, we could talk about it, but we don't know. And in these changing times of America, we have to know that we live in uncertain times, uncertain days, and we can only guess what is going to happen or what freedom we can preserve. How are we going to live? How are we going to have the freedom to buy what we want? Even sugar, even gasoline that could be used for explosives. Well, when we look around and we see what has happened in the world, we know that if the trend continues, we are not going to be a free people. In fact, our country will decay to the point of non-existence. But that is because we have left our first love, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We have forgotten to show our love of God. And in about the Matthew 22:38, we are commanded, the great commandment, to love our God and love our neighbor. Now look it up, because it's a little more than that, but that's the basics of it. And so we have to understand, what are we going to do? Now our Bible tells us what to do, just plenty. It tells us the nature of God and how we want to be godly, and we want to understand how we can live, how we can love God and love our neighbor and have an eternity in God's heavenly kingdom. So how do we do that? How do we get through tough times in our country, in our personal life? Will there be battles? Will there be actually physical battles in our life? Yeah, it sure could be. And we have known that all throughout time until recently. And now we just seem to forget that we have to be prepared for anything at all, because we are favored by God, and our government helps us with everything, right? Well, that is what some people say, or at least they think it, and they act like it's true, but we have limitations. We all have limitations, and even our banking system has limitations. We need the communication network, we need the internet, we need things so that our transactions can go from the store to the bank. And again, I say there are countries that want to destroy America, and we get to see how we can preserve the freedom we have. Now, I talked about a minute ago about the countries that are sending their people to South and Central America to enter into the United States. There's a reporter named Anthony Rubin, and he talks about the Chinese that have their own transportation facility in Central and South America. They have hotels that are only Chinese. And by the way, he stayed in several of them, but he said they were all Chinese, except him. So he did question why there were so many military-aged males going to the southern border of the United States. Well, there's a lot of things going on. We have religious struggles going on, especially with Islam and Christianity. And, well, I was just looking at this book called Control Agarks by Seamus Bruner. And he talks about the issues involved in controlling the country and the culture and the money. And so it was really a good study. But it had to do with the elite controlling our life. And when I say the elite, we can easily think of the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. We think of Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg. And we think of the political people that are there. Sure, we think of Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Mitch McConnell. But it's many more people than that who are involved in, well, it is actually bringing down the United States. Their plans to have that control over all the people is a way to have everything predetermined so that you don't have freedom anymore. Instead, our life is limited in ways that they have predetermined. And then we get to say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Well, anyway, yes, politicians, and yes, everyone else. It's not an easy thing, but it is a direction that we can understand because Revelation tells us about the beast system that is going to come. And we want to remain free as long as we can. We want to be able to buy gas and groceries and sugar for as long as we want. But if they have control over us, we just don't even know what'll happen. And lots of people say, well, Jesus said it was coming, so why resist it? Because Jesus said it would come. Well, what my idea is that we have an idea of how long we have to live within that coming beast system. And if we embrace it, it'll come right away. Right away. And if we resist it, we probably have a couple more years before it actually takes our freedom away from us. But we have the things that are going on. We can see the direction. And now what are we going to do? Are they going to really restrict our freedom? Well, there is the U.S. Department of Treasury, the FinCEN division, that has called for every purchase that would be radical, used by radicals, that it has to be reported to them. And by the way, not only is it information on how to build things that are bad for people, but it is Bibles and commentaries. So this is something that it can easily creep into our country so that we no longer have control. The authorities would then decide what we were allowed to have and what we were not allowed to have. And that's something which has been advocated from the people who want to control us at the very top. It has gone on for a long time. It's going on in other countries, and we know it from China especially, but also other countries around China. And the control of the money is how there is typically control of the people. So what are we going to do? Are we going to retain our freedom to be able to buy, sugar, groceries, gasoline, whatever we want? But if we buy any of that literature and there's a report on it, we go on a list. And that includes ammunition, too. That's something which we know will put us on a list. So what are we going to do as free Americans? Well, it's the way of the world. That's the way the world is going. So what are we going to do with our freedom in America? Are we going to retain our freedom to pray in Jesus' name at a football game or with people at work? That is under attack. And are we going to remain free, or are we going to be controlled and limited? Yes, Master. Well, we all get to be a part of that decision. And we think we're not going to do it, but look at how many people complied with the experimental vaccine. all over America, people complied with it, as AI is watching over us in every way. Big Brother, AI is watching us. They have identified us by our patterns, by the people we talk to. Every phone call has been recorded for decades by the NSA, the National Security Agency. So should we be surprised that people are actually watching out for anybody who might rebel? And that includes Christians or fundamentalists of any religion. Any religion is targeted. So are we going to be faithful? It's a good question. We have all these things going on right now, and we get to recognize if what we talk about or what we search online is going to be targeting us. And what, does it really matter? Or is the only thing that matters going to be our place in the kingdom of God? Well, how are you going to live? Because it still has to do with how do you live every day of your life. Are you going to live to promote the kingdom of God? Or are you going to live to be a part of the kingdom of the world, which is doing what the authorities and the elite tell you to do? Well, how do we survive all this? I think one good way is to have a few basic supplies, like a water filter, like white rice and wheat, and sugar, salt, and oil, and a manual wheat grinder, because we still don't know if the attacks on our infrastructure, which will be electrical and water and communication and highway systems, we still don't know if those are going to be successful or not. But we do want to be prepared by having food, water, and warmth, and a little propane stove to cook the food on is a good idea, too. Have a battery-powered radio. Have flashlights. Have lots of extra batteries. Have hand tools. Have soap. Have a few things for this and for that. And you can be sure that you are not going to have enough. And that is a part of the importance of being a community. We must be a community to survive what is coming. Well, again, we don't exactly know, but we know a beast system is coming. Are we going to be a part of the beast system? Are we going to stay outside of the beast system? Well, we are always going to need help. You could say we could need security, and that security might mean when we go to a store. It might mean when we sleep in our beds. It might mean we need to be a part of a community. So be a part of a community. And a Christian community is good. Or it might be your neighbors. It might be your family. But we need people to help one another. And a part of that is just plain and simple survival. Have some supplies so that you can get through whatever it is, a natural disaster, like an earthquake or a power outage, or what happens if there was an earthquake and the water lines broke? Then we would have no water. How would you get through that difficulty? Have water on hand and know where you can get a little more water. Do you have a lake near you? Do you have something? Because water is the most essential thing that we have. And, of course, communication would break down immediately, too. We know that because that's what the United States has done when they have gone into countries. Look what happened when U.S. went into Iran. Iraq. When USA went into Iraq and we took over that country and destroyed the systems within it so that the military and the police were disbanded. It's the same operating procedure. Everyone can look to see what it is. It is not hard to see. But we want to have our life continue in a way that is pretty gentle and even prosperous, if at all possible. And that means we have to do a little preparation to help us and the people around us. Because if we are in a great difficulty, we will need food and supplies. You get to figure out what they will be for you and yours, and everybody will be trading with each other as a community to help one another. And that's what Christians do. We help one another. And I don't think we're going to get through a time of difficulty without being some kind of a community. Now you get to understand what that is for you, and you get to decide. Now, do remember that any past broadcast can be heard again by going to www.christtoday.org. There's a lot of variety of different subjects that are getting talked about. I think about physical preparation a lot because I've seen so much of the world have troubles. Oh, even in my own life, I've had troubles. And I know that we don't want to live with troubles. We want to have prosperity. And that means we have to prepare for what most certainly is coming at some point. God bless you. And I do have a preparedness paper that if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, you can get that. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I'm always grateful for any donations that anyone can have because it's a part of the world and we live in this world and we need to have money to cover expenses. So God bless you and thank you for listening today. Stay close to Jesus Christ with all the things that are coming. Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.